We have a tendency to give up, don't we? I do. I have a tendency to give up. I have a tendency to give up a lot of time. We can't give up. We got to keep going. So don't give up. Look up. Because this message is for me. I'd like for you just kind of over here what the Lord has talked to me about. But this message is for me. And we're dealing with prayer and faith most of the time on Wednesday night. That's what this is, a prayer meeting. And we're dealing with prayer and faith. And like I said, it's mostly dealing with me, but are you everything that God wants you to be? I could say that same thing, Robert. I'm not. Are you everything that God wants you to be tonight as a person? Are you everything that God wants you to be as a family? Are you everything that God wants you to be as a church? Of course, we could go on to a nation if we wanted to, but that's far enough. As Brother Robert answered, for me, I'm not everything that God wants me to be. I'm sure of that. Are y'all sure of that? I am not everything that God wants me to be. And why? Well, maybe it comes with a prayer and faith. I really do believe it does. And these verses is a mark of a mature faith. Is a faith that continues when it seems that there is no answer. And we have prayer, and we keep praying, and sometimes we just don't know we have the strength to go on. Prayer sometimes, that we pray something, and it seems like the just answer hadn't come, and we've been praying for. Don't give up, look up, and just keep praying. Here in these verses 1 through 8 is a judge, and it says he's a very... A cruel judge, unfair judge, but there's a widow woman involved in this. And this, Jesus is speaking as a contrast, what he's going to tell us about when he said we ought to keep praying and the faith that we should have. And there's a contrast that Jesus Christ is talking about. This is a parable of contrast. And he says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 18, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end. That's Jesus talking to it now. That men ought to always to pray and not to faint, don't give up. That means all of us, we ought to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Saying, now he gives a contrast. There was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regard man. He didn't care anything about mankind. He didn't fear God. There's a bunch of judges like that in our country. Y'all believe that? And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversaries. Somebody took advantage of her. And she went to the judge, and he would not for a while. But after he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, she kept coming back and coming back, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let us pray and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words, Lord, that's spoken from the lips of our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for the power that's still on the words of God that we might read each day. And Lord, the Holy Spirit might take them to our heart, O God, and for us to see what you intend for us to be, and Father, to help us, O God, through this old weary traveling world that we're living in today, and we might, Lord, see you clear, Father. And Father, we just offered up so many names to you in prayer and on our hearts and our minds this night and our spoken requests, O God. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, and Father, all-loving God, and you know all the needs and requests that we've asked for this hour, for the names that we have called out, for the concern that we have. Father, we just pray, God, that you might grant these according to thy will as we pray for them each day. And Father, we want to thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to pray and to lift these people up. And Father, we want to be so thankful for each one that's here tonight, God. There's so many things that people's doing, oh God, and around this world. But even tonight, God, we want to thank you for this group of people, Lord, that decided tonight would be the night to praise you. And Father, come out for someone else to lift them up in prayer and be praying for them. And we want to thank you, Lord, that we have a people, God, that's still concerned about others, as you was concerned about others and willing to leave that place called heaven to come to this dark and weary world, God, that we may have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally. Father, we want to thank you here this night, God, that you have blessed us this day and brought us to another close. Father, we pray, God, even for the little ones and, Father, the teenagers that we have across the way, Father, in the other building, that you might pray for each teacher and be with each teacher tonight in a special way and for each person and each family that's represented. And we thank you this and all the many blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't give up, look up. So many times I'm ready to throw in the towel and give up so many different areas of my life. It says there in verse 1, though, he spoke this parable, and they only said, you know, man, we ought to always pray and not quit. Don't faint, just keep on praying. And if we just keep on praying, let's talk here about this widow. Now, this word widow there means someone that's forsaken, had no husband, and at this time, no rights as a woman at the time this Bible was penned, no resources, and just no help whatsoever. That's what that word widow means. It had no welfare at that time, no Social Security. It means empty or forsaken, no resources whatsoever. When you say widow, it's different than just saying widow today. What it really carried at that time really was someone that had absolutely nothing and no help whatsoever. I know I can't remember it back in my life, but I know there was a time in this country there weren't no Social Security and there wasn't no welfare. And even through the country that we're living in right now, if it weren't for people that lived on farms and if they had a widow and didn't have no breadwinner, that person had a bunch of kids most of the time, they was in bad shape. I mean, if they didn't have nobody to help them bring in the bread, they was in bad shape. And they would just throw it out to the world, and it was a bad time for people to help someone else. We needed to do that, and they did help people out. But there was no help except for what other people helped them. And didn't have anything. Well, a lot of times we find ourselves, and we just don't have, seem like, the strength to keep on going. I think as myself and a lot of us tonight, senior citizens, as we growing old, we feel our strength is inadequate for what we face. Do y'all do that sometimes? As we're growing old and every day, we might feel like we just don't have the strength and we're just inadequate to face the problems of life that we have to face. And as we look out into this world and see what this world's coming to, and you see, we just don't know where we're going to put our trust except in the Lord. And everything we're finding that people is leaned against is going to fall down one of these days, and the scaffold of this world is falling all the time because the devil's pulling nails as fast as he can, and the scaffold that most people are standing on is going to collapse. And we find that we're just inadequate for what we face. I know myself, I feel like I'm inadequate to be a pastor of this church. I appreciate y'all letting me be here. But the problems that we have, and not only for the old, as we're growing old, it's always the same for the young people too. We always have problems, and they're having problems. And in fact, I don't know how in the world the young people makes it today except for the Lord, because it's a bad time for young people. But this time, this woman says a widow. She comes to this very powerful, powerful judge. And it says there in verse 2 again, there was in that city a judge which feared not God. He didn't fear God at all, and he didn't even have any care for man. He was a man of no faith. He didn't care for man, and he had no compassion about mankind, no sympathy. In other words, you ever heard anybody that with a hard heart? Well, that's what this judge was. He's just a man with a hard heart with no compassion. And I believe we've got a lot of judges today in that same condition. But anyway, this widow comes to this type of judge, but she had nowhere else to go. And in verse 3, she comes to him. He said, and there was a certain widow in that city, and she came unto him, that judge, saying, you know, help me, avenge me, because someone's took advantage of me. And she was out without any protection. She was a widow, remember? And she was without hope. She was a widow. She had no power. She was a widow. She had no strength. And she said to the judge, you're my only hope. Imagine coming to someone like that, and you're my only hope. But she had nowhere else to go. Verse 4 and 5, then we see a battle of the will. And, she says, I'm not going to help you. I'll go on about your business. But she kept coming back and asking and asking and asking. And then, it said in verse 5, he kind of changed his mind. Yet because this widow troubled me, he said, well, I will help her. I'll avenge her. Least by her continued coming, she wearies me. The battle now of the will. Now, she She's a very powerless. She don't have any power for this widow, but she comes to our powerful judge. And she comes to him, and he says no, and she comes again and again and again and again. And he says, you're going to weary me coming back and to, back and to, back and to. So she was so, she said she was so aggressive and so determined. The judge said, I better do this before she keeps coming back and just wears me out. And wears me, it just means a black eye. She just keeps on, keeps on, keeps on, keeps on, keeps on. This judge said, I better go ahead and do this, make her where she just leave me alone. Well, in these verses of scriptures, we find this story here, or this parable, is God saying to get an answer from him that we got to just keep on and wearing him out and badgering God and just convince God that we just come to him over and over and over? No, that's not what God's saying. We don't have to come to God and just wear him out and weary him and badger God, but what he's giving here is a contrast. If this judge has no fear of God, don't care about man, if he'll do this for this widow, how much more than a loving father would do for his children without this? He's given a contrast of continued persistent prayer and persistence in our faith. And if we keep being persistent, keep praying for this over and over, keep praying for it, keep praying for it. There's four things it will help us do if we keep doing this. But in 6 and 7, he said, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And what shall God avenge his own elect, which cries day and night unto him, though he bears long with them? Yes, he says, I will do this. This old judge is going to do it, and he's an unjust judge. He don't care about mankind, and he's going to do it. But our loving Father, how much better, how much more willing is he really to do it for you and I today? Now, he's not like, God's not like this unjust judge. God loves to answer our prayers. Did y'all know that? That God loves to answer our prayers. Then why did Jesus say there in verse 1 that we ought to always pray and not to faint? It means to continue to pray and not to give up. Why we ought to keep on praying when the answer don't come? Have y'all ever prayed for anything and the answer just didn't come when you thought it ought to come? Well, if we don't discover the secret of these verses of Scripture here and what God's teaching us or Jesus, there will be a time that we will fail and we will faint and we will quit and we won't be everything that God wants us to be as an individual, as a family, and as a church. If we don't learn in the verse of Scripture what he's talking here about here, this principle. And there's four reasons that we ought to pray consistently. And don't give up. One thing, you know, I named four of these things. It'll help you to focus on God. I mean, to keep on, it'll help you to focus on God. If you pray for something and you don't get the answer right then, you keep praying for it and praying for it, it's going to help you focus on God. Not only that, if you keep praying for it, be consistent about it, it's going to clarify your request. Is this really now, am I really in the will of God? Do I really need this? Is this really what I'm asking God for? It also prepares you for the answer to come. And then it will strengthen your faith. These four things that we need, well, continuously to pray and ask God, be what God wants us to be. Like as I said, as an individual in your family and also as our church. Help us to focus on God. We pray persistently. When God says wait and he don't answer us our prayers right on time, he wants us to what? Remember our source. You see, it helps us to focus on God. You keep praying, and it don't come. He don't answer that request when you think he ought to. Been 5 years, you're still praying for it. Been 10 years, you're still praying for it. What to do? Remember our source. Now, if he's answered all of our prayers quickly and easily, when we get our, we forget where the source is from. Y'all know that? Every time we pray for something, bam, boy, it happened just like that. You'd be forgot what the source, where the source is from. But after a while, if he don't come, it makes you kind of wonder. Now, you just think about God. When God delays and we continue to pray, we begin to focus on God. We begin to focus on God. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What he's doing is getting us to focus on him. We look for everything to supply our needs in this country. And y'all know that? I mean, everything but God. That's what's wrong with our country. We're not focusing on God. You know, as individuals, as Christians, we do the same thing. We try to find everything to help us out of this situation or do this or do that except God. We want to put our faith in our country. Don't put it in our government. I hope you don't do that. But we do a lot of time. We depend on God. That, you know what? You see all these demonstrators, and what they put in their faith in our old government to give them everything they want and desire to have. You better not put it in your government, I can tell you that. You better not put it in Washington, D.C. You better not put it in the country. It says, you know what? We better put it in God. Because if we don't get everything we want, you better look to God. But we try everything, but only God can deliver what we really need. Only God can deliver what we really need. And when we don't get everything that we ask for, when we ask for it, it makes us, you know, to focus on God. Psalm 105 and 4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. That means all the time, continuously. A need as a person, a family, as a church, and as a nation. And if we keep on what it helps us do, it helps us to focus on God. But then it clarifies my request. Now we prayed for something. Think about this. Now it clarifies my request. Examine my request. It hadn't happened. Now I prayed several times, several days, several weeks, several months, several years, whatever it might be, several times a day. And it don't happen, it makes you clarify your request. Examine my request. To be very suspicious of what I'm talking about, what I'm praying for. We pray too much in general. When I say that to clarify my request to God, we pray too much in general. As I stand up here and I have all these senior citizens' names, and I say, okay, we're going to just pray for all of our senior citizens. Well, if God would answer one of the prayers of somebody, we wouldn't know where he answered or not because we prayed so much in general. But when I call out their name, like Miss Maddie had a hip surgery, we pay and praying for that special person. That's why it's important to call these names out to the Lord, because we're specifying our request for that person and what's wrong with that need of that person as much as we can. So we need to clarify that. If God would answer our prayer sometime, we wouldn't even know it because we pray too much in general. It makes us now, if you don't answer our prayer when we ask it for, it makes us to clarify my request, see what I'm really asking for. We say, God, sometimes bless me in general. God, bless me. You know, sometimes blessings comes in a form of a burden. So you pray, God, bless me. You better be more specific what you're talking about because, you see, sometimes it comes as a burden. You might be praying, God, burden me, that he might bless us. And that's what God does sometimes. Sometimes God sends a burden, you know, to grow us that we might be able to receive the blessings. So we say, God bless us, you know, we better be careful because sometimes he might send us a burden to grow us, to mature us, that we might receive the blessing as God got for us. So we need to be very careful. Be careful when we pray for something so in general because it's a test. You see, it's a test. When God don't answer you to right off the bat, it's a test. Zechariah 13:9 says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. They shall say, the Lord is my God. There's a test. He's trying you as gold. Time, you know, as we think about it, it separates the deep longing for the things we're really asking for against just the whims. We might say, God, give me this, God, give me that. A lot of time, y'all do that, God, give me this. If this don't happen, you keep praying for it, keep praying for it. It will separate our deep longing desire for the special need, for the special person, for the special prayer. It will separate that from just the whims of the cares of life. Lord, God, bless me. God, do this, God, do this. And do you want something that only God can do? Do you want something only God can do in their church, in your family, or yourself? Only God can provide for you. God delays is not God denials. We need to understand that. Isaiah said, therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. You see, God has a waiting room. As we pray for things, be persistent as we pray for things. Keep on praying. Keep on praying, but God has a waiting room. God has a waiting room. I know that most of us has been in hospital waiting rooms. And you know, you sit there in that waiting room and you're waiting for the doctor to come out. Family just had some surgery or going through some surgery and maybe a heart attack or some surgery, another, whatever it might be. And you know, when you go into an operating room and they put you to sleep, you or your family, you know, there's always that that maybe something could happen. There's something always serious about me when I'm going through surgery and my family. You know what I mean? And your family's out there in the waiting room. Are you out there in the waiting room? And you're waiting, you know, to find out what's happening to your loved one, to your family. You're waiting for the doctor to come out and give you an answer. And you know, your patient, you're waiting to hear what's gonna happen. And you get kind of nervous of waiting around. And then the doctor comes out and says, "Well, everything went good. It went real good. The surgery was real good, and everything good. And what a relief! Whew. Boy, that feels good, don't it? Well, you see, God has got a waiting room and prayer room. He's got a waiting room for every one of us. Things that you keep praying for, be persistent, because God's got you in a waiting room, and me in a waiting room. And he's going to come out and he's going to give us the answer. But we got to wait for it. I mean, there's nothing you can do in a hospital waiting room. I mean, you can walk up and down the aisles if you want to. You can go outside and do whatever you need to do. But you see, there ain't nothing you can do. You just got to wait. Ain't that right? You just got to wait. Well, that's the way it is with God. When he puts you in the prayer of God's waiting room, there's nothing you can do but wait on God. And what it'll do, it'll help you focus on God. And it will clarify your request that you've made in God's waiting room. God puts you in there. The test, do you really want that thing that you're asking God for? As you continue to pray, now, do I really need to change my request? I need to narrow it down. I need to clarify it according to God's will. It'll cause you to clarify your request. Make sure you're asking God for the right thing. And then, you know, it prepares you for the answer. He prepares you for the answer. God wants to do more than we're asking him to do. You know, God wants to do a whole lot more than you ask him for something, and you might be praying tonight, but you know what? God wants to do more than we are really willing to ask him for. He wants to do more than what we're willing to ask him for. As you learn to pray and pray persistently, we learn to serve better and to pray better in the faith. As I said so many times, that we get discouraged and we get so weary in our life and we're just ready to give up. You know, a lot of people give up in their Christian life, just give up and quit coming to church. They give up on their families. They give up on this and they give up on that. And as I said, God talking to me, but continue to pray. God prepares you for something greater than what you're really asking him for. He's preparing you for something greater. So is he preparing you for the answer? He's preparing you for something greater. In Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think." You see, I'm talking about the Word of God. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I said, he's willing to do more than what you're asking him to do. Well, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think." That's the Bible. According to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us. You know what? God's got a miracle in this house tonight. He really has. I mean, God's got a miracle in this house tonight. You know where it's at? It's in you and me. Whew. That's good. Y'all know that? That is good. The power of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm telling you, that worketh in you. Prayer not only changes things, it changes you. Pray consistently. I'm telling you, it changes you. You know, God's more interested in you than he is in your circumstances. Your circumstances don't really bother God a whole lot. You know that? He don't get excited about your circumstances. He's more interested in you. God is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. In God's waiting room. He's preparing us. He's preparing us to love him more than we've ever loved him before. He's preparing us to witness that we've never witnessed before like we could need to witness now. He's preparing us to serve him more than we've ever served him before. Don't give up. Look up. It prepares us. But the fourth thing, it strengthens your faith. It strengthens my faith. Faith is like a muscle. It has to be stretched to be strengthened. It has to be exercised. And God wants us to exercise our faith. Galatians 6 and 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not," if we don't quit, he says, we shall reap. Remember whenever you was tempted to quit. Remember whenever you was tempted to give up. A test of your faith. God may know how much you are willing to believe him for. God may know how much you are willing to believe him for. Did you know the size of your prayer determines the size of your God? The size of your prayers determine the size of your God and what you're willing to trust him for. Luke 11 and 9 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." How many times we just keep on seeking and just keep on knocking is the answer to that. Keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Jeremiah says, 29 and 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." How many times or how many people would you talk to on the telephone if you let the telephone ring one time and you'd hang it up? How many people would you talk to? Not very many people. The same thing is with God. If we just let it prayer ring one time, how many requests would we be made known? It needs to ring, and let it ring, and let it ring. You know, that's what God is waiting for us to do, is to ring him, not one time, but just keep on, it says. Keep on praying. Have you made a decision the night of that faith to be consistently praying, keep on going? You see, a lot of times I know that people, and I've read behind a lot of prayer warriors and a lot of prayer books, and a lot of people has told me in their prayer life, in their books and they have wrote, they had prayed for things for many years and it didn't come true. And even their grandmother, their grandfather, their mother and father prayed for things, and even they died and it still didn't come true. Maybe it'd be praying for someone to be saved for years and years, and it didn't come true. But after they died, that person came to the Lord and was saved. Or something else happened. A lot of missionaries have done this. After they had died, they see the place where they had ministered for years. You see, it turned into a great ministry of God. There have been many, many people that has, after they have died, their prayers had keep going on. And they may not have seen them, but they happened. So what I'm saying here tonight, if you make that decision of this faith and make the decision to keep on praying, if I die without seeing them, I'm going to keep on praying till the answer comes. I'm going to die trusting the Lord. I'm going to die serving the Lord. And I'm going to die, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to look up. I'm going to keep on. They sing that old song in our hymn book a lot of times, Brother Orwell does. I decide to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Well, that's the same way in our faith, in our prayer life, not just in our Christian life, no turning back. We just keep on keeping on. What did it do, these four things, if we just keep praying? It'll help you to focus on God. It'll clarify your request. Prepare you for the answer to come when it does come, because it will come, but it also strengthen your faith. Have you really decided tonight to look up and don't give up? Lord, help us to keep on going on. Times may get harder. Time may get rough. And I believe they will in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different areas. But I believe that we just keep on looking up, that no matter what this world sends to us, I'm telling you, we be persistent in our prayers. It'll help us so much. We want to thank you tonight. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say at this time? We've got about 30 seconds. Any requests tonight? Well, be praying for those who lost a loved one in the Gene Hardy family. And I say the ones that we have called out tonight, the many that we have not called out. And the unspoken request is on our heart this hour. Keep on praying for that person. Keep on praying for that family. Keep on praying for that person and don't give up. Because it will happen if you just keep on praying. Don't give up. Don't say there ain't no use. Just keep on praying. Don't give up. Look up. And God will help us. As we stand, our time is almost out. If we stand this time, and we'll be dismissed. Like I say, don't forget our service Sunday, and for the funeral that we'll have here Sunday, and for that family.